The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster by, good afternoon. Man in Line's on today. Open line till 1. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. The Isle of Man's pension funding gap shouldn't be the reason for a blame game, despite fears that it could run out in just over 20 years. Well, so says the chair of the Public Sector Pensions Authority. I just wonder what you think. That's been the object of many, many conversations over recent time. And also, what about this issue about the churn of members in Tynwald creating friction and the fact that it's relatively inexperienced, Tynwald? And certainly there are no former MHKs in LegCo. The Speaker of the House of Keys had something to say about that fairly recently. Have you got any thoughts about this? Of course, next year we'll see another churn as well because there'll be a general election. Any thoughts on that? Or anything else? What's on your mind? What about the fact that there's still people encroaching on closed roads? How many times do you have to say this, I wonder? Right, let's get to the phones now. And Chris is with us, first of all. It's I think it's former MHK Chris Robinshaw with us. Hi, Chris.
Andy, good afternoon to you. Andy, I'm prompted to sort of have a word today with you, hoping to express a fair degree of concern and caution about recent statements that Ørsted have made with regard to the Isle of Man project, where we had this tremendous expected and ambitious £2 billion over 35 years coming to the Isle of Man in years to come. But at the same time, the comment from Ørsted that, of course, the details of this were strictly commercially confidential. In other words, the taxpayers of the Isle of Man will not know the detail of it. Now, on examination, it sort of begins to fall down. I read today in the Telegraph this particular sentence. It says, yesterday, Ørsted revealed it would not be bidding to build any renewable projects under the next round of the UK green energy subsidies, known as Allocation Round 7. Ørsted has already stopped work on major projects in British waters amid cost pressures. Now, those withdrawals have taken place with regard to Ørsted's background, where it's now a company in crisis, but has pulled out of arrangements with the UK government, even though it was getting what many people now understand as the contract for difference, which is a significant level of subsidy. Now, it seems to me that if... difficult for me to understand how they could make a go of an Isle of Man project if there would be no contracts for difference or no UK subsidies available. And it seems to me that there can't be, because the Ørsted people couldn't possibly be guaranteeing the Isle of Man this these sort of huge returns until and unless they entered into contracts of difference with the UK. So one can only assume that they're going to try to do this scheme completely divorced from the UK government in terms of subsidies. And yet its major customer, bar none, will be the UK. So it really looks like a huge kite-flying exercise. I mean, they mentioned, I think, the idea that the income would be there for 35 years, but more recent evidence is showing that these large wind farms are not lasting anything like the time they were expected to, and are ending up closing after 15 to 20 years. So the whole thing's just really worries. Why does it worry? Because if Ørsted are going to go ahead out with any contractual arrangements with the UK, then it means that it has entered into contracts with the Isle of Man government, And yet we, the taxpayers, are not allowed to see what those arrangements are. And I think many people now accept the fact that the Isle of Man government is absolutely hopeless when it comes to entering into decent quality commercial contracts. I mean, the Liverpool landing stage being one famous example. It talked about as well, and it was flying the, also the flying these kites, about, oh, you know, putting a cable into the Isle of Man. Well, my understanding, there was never an arrangement to do so up to that statement. So something must have changed very recently. And if it has changed, why do we need an onshore wind farm at all if we've got these guarantees from Ofsted? Yeah. What I'm trying to say clumsily, Andy, is that there's a whole range of questions that emerge from this bland, strange statement that have come from a company that's struggling to survive. And what I would say, Andy, is that it's up to government to come clean on this. Something of such significance cannot possibly remain a confidential matter between Ofsted and a governmental system which the people have no trust in its ability to construct contracts.
And when they were talking at the beginning, as you say, there was never any mention. In fact, I think, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but the very mention of taking electricity from this huge wind farm direct to the Isle of Man was almost poo-pooed because they intimated, or somebody intimated, we don't have the infrastructure to cope with such a lot of electricity and power of electricity coming our way. We'd have to invest hugely in infrastructure.
Well, the whole thing surrounded by, I would suggest, misinformation and or lack of information, which is perhaps even worse. I am troubled by this, and my instinct is that all this happened, and we got this story as well about, oh, Ofsted's going to provide funding to charities, etc. It sounds very much like a kite-flying exercise as Ofsted approached the process of applying for planning permission, and I would sort of leave it at that. But why, if it's true, why would we go ahead with an expensive onshore proposition? I think it's so important and so big that it shouldn't be allowed to remain, as it were, totally confidential within government bureaucracy. I mean, if I can just sort of go back a little bit, Kroger's position was always completely clear, and Kroger laid out exactly what it was proposing to do and when it was proposing to do it and what the benefits to the Isle of Man were, and they were very, very clear. Subject, of course, to knowing yes or no whether the gas would release it to commercial pressures. So it seems to me, I mean, we laugh at two-tier UK, but we've got a two-tier system here on the Isle of Man, it would seem.
So why would you think that they are, I mean, we often hear this phrase, commercial confidentiality. I mean, what will be the downside of them breaking that commercial confidentiality?
If there's no potential liability whatsoever on the part of the Isle of Man government, i.e. the taxpayer, i.e. you and I, in any future scenario where things could go wrong for Ofsted, then there isn't a great need to know much of the detail other than making it explicit to the people of the Isle of Man that there's no exposure that the Isle of Man could result in. But when you compare that to what happens in the UK, it just doesn't add up. Ofsted are pulling out, even though they've got huge subsidies. So what is the deal that makes it possible for Ofsted to think it can go ahead on the Isle of Man and think at this early stage that it can detail and define exactly what the income to the Treasury would be? It doesn't add up. And I think they're just hiding behind this sort of crude commerciality, confidentiality phrases, as the Isle of Man government so often do and so unreasonably do. I mean, there's been many occasions where, when I was in Timbuktu, where comments were coming up that, oh, this is commercially confidential, and you'd think to yourself, no, it's not. It's just that they don't want to discuss it, and they certainly don't want to expose the information to Timwald or the people. Wholly unsatisfactory, this situation is, Andy.
Okay, appreciate that, Chris. Thanks for sharing your thoughts with us today.
Thanks, have a good day.
Okay, and you too, 16 minutes past 12. The reason that public sector pensions are running so low, says Andy, could be because the likes of the pre-2016 MHKs didn't pay towards golden pensions that they receive. Probably this needs to be looked into. Probably if you didn't pay in, you don't receive. That should be brought in, says Andy. Well, that would be retrospective, wouldn't it? And, you know, the Isle of Man and the Western world lives under the law of contract. So if those were the rules at the time, what would be the consequence of going back and changing them retrospectively? Because if that's the case, then is anything worth the paper that it's written on if people are going to change their mind? Manx Grand Prix organisers, by the way, have confirmed tomorrow's racing will run as scheduled. For the 27th of August, roads are going to close tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. They've stated that if there's rain forecast overnight, the chance of showers in the morning, that may affect the schedule, but roads close tomorrow morning at 9:30. If there are delays, the clerk of the course has confirmed that the contingency session available tomorrow evening could be utilised. The race organiser continues to monitor the weather forecast closely, they say, and will issue further updates if there are any changes. But as we are, tomorrow goes ahead for, I think it's Classic TT Race Day 2, I believe. So, turbine blades have been bought already, apparently, hence the planning application for the Summerland site. Government signed up for the scheme, and then it's too late for us to object and stop this happening. Thank you, 762. I read that Ørsted have had 15% of their share value wiped out, worth $1.7 billion. The best news this week. I hope they go bankrupt, says 068. Why would you want them to go bankrupt, 068? And yes, our government is useless at contracts. Well, not all of them, I would presume. Let's get to the phones now. And Robert's on now. Hi, Robert.
How you doing?
Well, very well. What's on your mind?
Well, Andy's just handed me a coffee, actually. He's very kind over at Gry Love IOM, so I'm doing well. How are you? You were off last week.
We were...
Hello?
No, we were on all last week. Anyway, you talk to me. What's on your mind?
Well, there's a couple of things that were... I was talking to a few locals, and they're a bit concerned about a few things that came up. I think Robert Shaw's got a point there, but I'll leave him to it. I won't contradict him because he's a good man. Anyway, I think in terms of wind turbine blades, and you say they've already been bought... Well, obviously, people will be saying, how do you get rid of them? That is a normal part of the buying process, that they pay into it to get rid of them from the start.
Okay.
So, you know, it's like when they have, I think it's, what's his name, the guy that's beach footies?
Bill Dale.
Bill Dale always says, you know, how are you going to get rid of them? And should you have paid to get rid of them from the start when you bought them? That is just a normal part of it. So don't worry about that. The second point, if I could bring you on a bit, and we'll put it on the slightly, because I know there's a few visitors at the moment. What happens when Nigel Farage becomes PM?
Well, that's hypothetical, isn't it? We don't know. It doesn't affect us at the moment.
Yeah, but, I mean, if he becomes PM, then what happens? How does it affect the Isle of Man?
Well, like I said, that's hypothetical. First of all, we're not in the UK.
Well, we can talk that, can't we?
Yeah, but give me... what's your point behind this when you say Nigel Farage becomes Prime Minister?
Well, I think, obviously there'll be more Muppets around, coming around and getting accounts and all the rest of it, because they'll be talking about rich and poor and the poor getting poorer and the rich getting richer. And we're back once again to Gary's economics. Do you remember him? I was talking about you last week about Gary's economics. And, I just think that, you know, what happens, nobody knows. It's like the ultimate X factor, isn't it? And he'll be on, getting all of his mates round, and he'll just be contradicting the Isle of Man because we're not I mean, we're missed off the map half the time, aren't we? So, I mean, is it good for the Isle of Man? I don't know. I mean, let's discuss it. It needs to be discussed. Someone needs to talk about it somewhere. So, I mean, there's nothing in the newspapers about it, as far as I know. So, I mean, yeah.
All right. OK. Robert, thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. Jack says we can't change the terms for MHK's pensions, but we can keep bumping up the pension age on state pensions. I'm all right, Jack. And again, a point in from 404 said the government changed the state pension retrospectively. Why not the bankrupting public sector pension scheme as well? The UK has been bankrupted with theirs, as are we, says John. And a message in, let's from Will, just says, let's get real. Let's get real, says Will. Our government can't run anything. The list is massive. I could go on all day about the list of problems in our society. So why should our government go and waste all the taxpayers' money on wind turbines? The government has led us down the garden path to the island of bankruptcy and sea junk. Well, first of all, Ørsted are paying for the wind farm. That's point one. There's no public money going to the wind farm. Ørsted are and will pay us rent on the seabed. So there will be income from the Ørsted wind farm. So there's income from that. And we will then get electricity, whether the electricity comes direct from the wind farm or whether it goes back to Preston. It goes into that circuit and then they've promised us an interconnector from Preston to Groudle, and that will bring us electricity. So that will back up the interconnector we've got at the moment from down below Max Radio at Portskillion to Bispham in Blackpool. So that's the situation. Ørsted is a multi-billion euro, krona, dollar, pound company. It's enormous. It has its challenges at the moment, but then again, you get challenges in every industrial revolution. So we'll see. I mean, the question is, again, as Chris Robershaw mentioned, if we're going to have an offshore wind farm, why would we want an onshore wind farm? But anyway, back to the phones, and Bonzo's with us. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello. Yes. Well, I see Chris Robershaw is taking every opportunity to muddy the waters. As we remember, he has never been a fan of offshore wind because, of course, he has advocated fully for the Kroger gas field.
Well, he was an investor.
Well, indeed, in which he was an investor. Again, something which I don't think he mentioned in his call.
Well, he wasn't talking about Kroger. He was talking about Ørsted.
Yes, he was talking about Ørsted, and then he mentioned about the treatment of Kroger, or what he perceived to be the treatment of Kroger, as part of that conversation. And I noticed that he's doing that today, of course, as there is a public meeting at Garth Commissioners on the subject of the wind farm, of Ørsted's offshore wind farm. And he has formed, if I remember rightly, a new political grouping. Is it Future Isle of Man? So I think this is very much, you know, yes, let's make hay of a situation. And yes, well, there are some issues which Professor Robershaw points out. Much of that, as I say, is muddying the waters and misinforming and disinforming. I mean, Ørsted, as you rightly pointed out, multi-billion company, and indeed pretty much underwritten by the Danish government. The Danish government will not let it fail. If there's any problem, because of the problems that they are having, and it has nothing to do with the actual health of the company, what has happened is, of course, is Trump, in his war on renewables, because of his fossil fuel industry friends who've been bankrolling him, which is why he goes drill, baby, drill all the time, have scuppered Ørsted's participation in a wind farm. Was it off Martha's Vineyard?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Very large. You know, I think that's sort of 3 gigawatts.
Well, I think it's already started, the one off Martha's Vineyard. It's just not going to
be
finished.
Well, yes, Well, yes, that's the thing. And so Ofsted, I'm sure, obviously have sort of cancellation things in these contracts, but it's going to take them some years of lawyering to actually get that money back. So they've had to pull their horns in. But they prioritised, the team, that they prioritised the, Morvanin, that's right, Morvanin wind. Because it is, you know, technically easiest to do, because essentially it is Walney Part 3, so they just tack it on to the end of Walney. As for the power to the Manx grid, this is where one thing where Chris Robertshaw does have a point, in that as far as I'm aware, they have only mentioned that Ofsted, that is, have only mentioned that they would pay for the cable. That they would, that doesn't, of course, then talk about who pays for the considerable infrastructure to receive that power, and then to sort it out into to go into the Manx grid, and also what kind of rate that would be supplied to. At the, as in cost, to the Manx grid, and how much that would then be part of their, it's 2.5 billion over 30 years. There's also, I think, part of any agreement which would be a percentage on power generated, which again, what we really need is the kind of agreements that the Crown Estates had. The Crown Estates had those kind of agreements because of the way that the auction was structured for those bits around UK. And it was structured very much in the way that the auction for 3G mobile phone was constructed. You know, sort of blind bidding and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it maximised the amount of money that the Crown Estates got, because they were having to, you know, pay top dollar and then some in order to get the licenses, which has now led to the fact that the pace at which those sites can be developed has actually slowed down, because like with the 3G licenses purchase, that left the phone companies having to spend 2 years and pushing bills up to people in order to then be able to pay to roll 3G out.
Right. Where do you stand on this thing about commercial confidentiality and the government saying we can't say anything because of commercial confidentiality? Some people would just say, well, that means we're going to be paying more because you're not telling us. If there's good news, just tell us.
Commercial confidentiality, you would say, would be in this case, yes, it's a publicly quoted company, so things that influence the share price, and those are covered, obviously, by regulations in the stock exchanges. But at the moment, of course, what with Trump's assistance, etc., I'm not entirely sure that announcements of the terms of Morvanin would be of great influence to the share price at the moment. It might be slightly helpful, but not. But what, as I say, what we need is more like the agreements that the Crown Estates managed to acquire. Now, those, as I say, were well over the odds because of the way that they'd structured the auction, which is why I've always said, you know, we have to price it at a point where we, you know, get a fair deal, but where they have enough incentive to actually build the wind farm. So something like 100 million a year for the first 10 years, and then essentially an assurance of 100 million a year, you know, for the next 15 years. But we need that kind of money up front. If you're going to build this wind farm, with all, of course, the political and the upheaval and stuff, well, you know, if you want it built, then you've got to get the Manx people on board, and that means giving them, showing them a very, very tangible benefit, yeah. And that means that kind of money.
Okay, all right.
And if Orsted don't want to do that, then perhaps we can find someone else who can.
Okay, Bonzo, we appreciate your call. Thanks for being with us today.
Okay then.
1:29, a note from Jess, who just said, why doesn't the government just say electricity will be no higher than it is at the moment? Then at least we'd have something to benchmark it by. At the moment, we don't know. And we suspect in the background that electricity is going to cost more in the future. Surely, if it's such a good idea, it'll be costing us less, won't it? Michael's with us now. Thanks for hanging on, Michael.
No problem. No problem at all. Hello?
Yeah, what's on your mind?
Next Monday, I'm off to Liverpool to the hospital. And I rang up patient transfer this morning to see if I was going to get to arrange transport from where I live to the Almain Airport. And I was informed that because it's my first trip, I want to make my own way. The only exceptions for me to be given patient transfer would have been either A, I was in benefits, or it was my third trip, or if I was a war veteran. I'm Manx born and bred. I've paid into the system since I was working. I just find it quietly unacceptable to be told I've got to make my own way.
And this is purely purely because it's your first visit.
Yeah, well, I know there's people who've gone, it was their visit, and they haven't had to pay. They've been picked up from their front door and dropped off at their front door on their first visit. And another thing about patient transfer is the fact that I've had to pay for my brother. They wanted £190. I thought, there's no way I'm paying that much for my brother. So I've got him on the EasyJet flight, and I've got him on the boat coming back on the same day. And that's, you know, half the price of what the patient transfer were wanting. I just find it totally unacceptable that a Manx resident, born and bred, paid into the system, has had to has been told, we're not going to transfer you, we're not going to take you.
For the avoidance of doubt, it is purely because, they said, it's purely because it's your first visit and subsequent visits will get paid for.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, I know people who've gone on their first visit and haven't paid.
Right.
That's what I find totally unacceptable.
Well, that is strange. And if anybody else can clarify that, if anybody has been given free transport on the first one, I'd like to know. All right. OK, Michael, we appreciate that. Good to hear from you today.
Thank you. Cheers.
Can you clarify that? I mean, do you know anything about this? That your first visit on the patient transfer has to be covered, the costs have to be covered by you? Chris Robertshaw mentioned that there's a meeting. Yes, there is. It's on tonight. Tuesday 26th, it's at 7 o'clock at Lexi Working Men's Institute. GARF commissioners are inviting residents to have their say on Orsted's plans for the Moore Vannin offshore wind farm. It will affect views. Will it affect views on the Garth coastline from Portly Weg in Macauld down to Groudle Glen? So the commissioners want to give you the opportunity to share your thoughts on the benefits and possible impacts of the project. Stephen Carter, captain of the parish of Lonnon, will be chairing the meeting. The MHKs will be there, Daphne Kane and Andrew Smith. Orsted aren't going to be there tonight. They say they're going to hold their own consultation events later on. It's a meeting intended to clarify details of the proposals and to give the commissioners the opportunity to listen to the residents of Garth, whether for the proposals or against, and they'll use the feedback to inform their submission on the proposals to planning or to Comin, whichever is asked to assess the application. Julian's with us now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing?
Well, very well, thanks.
You mentioned earlier about wind turbine blades, I think, didn't you?
Somebody said there's skeet going round that they've been bought and that planning permission has been sought for Summerland to store them. We have no concrete proof of either of those.
Mm. I just find it interesting that in another bit of news, one of the largest manufacturers of wind turbine blades that supply to Vestas, Nordex, Siemens Gamesa, General Electric are all the big boys, all the ones that we see out at Walney are all one of those. They're called TPI Composites, so T for Tango, P for Peter, I for India, Composites. They've just filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. They're based in Scottsdale in Arizona, but they have an engineering center in Kolding in Denmark, with manufacturing around the world, including Chennai in India. So you've got one of the big players in wind turbine blades. Looks like they've just filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. So we'll see. They sometimes call it restructuring, but it's never a good thing when you're doing that. Also noticed, as they didn't have a bank holiday in Europe yesterday, trading on Ørsted shares have dropped a further 18%. So it's now the lowest it's ever been. And it's about 20% below what it was initially offered at. So anyone that's bought any shares since 2016, it's now in negative territory. And I know that there's a lot of pension funds and institutional investors have clearly dumped Ørsted, which is the usual kind of, you get that idea. Ørsted has also announced that they're going to sack about 10% of their total workforce, which will be 800 jobs gone, 250 immediately. They're cutting back 25% reduction in activities. They're not bidding in the new auction round, allocation round 7. So if you're not in, you can't win. So there's another problem. So we might see their shares dropping even further if that's the case. It's not looking too good for them. I just wonder, even if you're not worried about the complete destruction of our view, at what point does a financial services heavy island like the Isle of Man actually start looking at this and going, are we really going to deal with somebody that's lost 90% of their share value and they're having to be bailed out with $10 billion worth of funding from the Danish government? It kind of says that, when you start having that dependency on things, it's not really a very good business model, especially considering that it's been dropping literally precipitously since 2021 when Joe Biden came into office and was very pro them. So, you can blame all you like on COVID lockdowns and whatever and supply chains, but it's a long time ago now. The new administration's only been in for 100 and something days, so you have to explain why it's been dropping all those years. Don't know, what do you think, Andy? Does it seem like there's something weird going on here with Ørsted?
Well, the fact is that net zero, and if you like, the green revolution, is a new industrial revolution. The fact is that the reliance on fossil fuels is being phased out in many places. We have a net zero plan, and it's in law. I mean, that's the law. We have to follow that plan. Tynwald has set it. The UK is doing what it's doing. Europe is doing what it is doing. And obviously, in the middle of an industrial revolution, there's choppy water. If you look back at industrial revolutions in history, in England, in Britain, when everybody was digging canals, lots of the canal companies went bust. When they put the railways in, lots and lots of the railway companies went bust, and eventually it all amalgamates. The fact is, we don't know. Hindsight is 2020 vision. We don't know what's going to happen. The only thing I'll say, the only thing that interests me, is the fact that this is a gamble. It's a risk. It may be a risk worth taking, and it may pay off handsomely for us, but it is a risk, Julian.
Yeah, but it does make you wonder. Clearly, the business sector is in disarray. You've got one of the largest wind turbine blade manufacturers going into bankruptcy. You've got the largest, by far, wind farm operator, Ørsted, almost. I mean, if this was a retailer in the street, you'd be wondering if they're going to open the doors on Monday. It just makes you wonder on the wisdom of having this climate change. Legislation in place here. I mean, makes you wonder. I know that the Climate Change Act beholds us to do all sorts of things. I was just wondering if that's the reason why we're sending £100,000 off to Kenya, was it, for water? something to do with their water, trying to get the water system.
Oh, no, that's a charity. It's actually a Manx charity. It was a Manx charity. It started here years and years ago. It's called the Sand Dams Project. And volunteers from the Isle of Man, and they go here, there, and everywhere. And people pay for themselves and go and construct sand dams all over Africa. And I think this is a project for Mozambique. So the government's committed. I think it's £100,000 over. I think it's over time.
Right.
It's not straight away, but it's. I mean, that I think is matching what everybody gives internally. Lots of the companies on the Isle of Man are behind it, and certainly individuals pay for themselves to go out and dig these dams across Africa.
Yeah, I did read somewhere though that there's some sort of ESG score goes on when it's associated with doing stuff like that. So I don't know. I'll have to look further into that one. But it'd be interesting to see tonight what the meeting says. It's unfortunate that nobody from Orsted can attend, because you might get a little bit more clarity as to exactly what is this in it for us. You know, why are we only having a third of the customary seabed lease amount, 57 million instead of 215 million? And, you know, how are they going to transport electricity to us if none of the wind turbines are running, which we often see when we go past Walney?
Yeah, well, you've heard the number I've always quoted over the past few years, Julian, and that number is 29p. And if the government if the government can guarantee that electricity is going to be less than 29p per kilowatt hour in the future, then obviously that will go some way to securing public support. If all that's going to happen is the price of electricity is going to go up, then I'll just echo what it was Laurie Hooper said it years ago on this show. If the government guarantees that electricity is going to be 20p per kilowatt hour, then the public will be for it. I mean, you know, follow the money, follow the price.
I'd suggest, though, that we're paying over the odds now because the price of gas, which I think it was Rob Callister said that the primary influence on the price of electricity is what the input cost is of gas. That's down 86% compared to when we had the prices put up. So is 28.5p reasonable at the moment when the actual cost of gas is down 86%? Shouldn't we be paying 20p now? Then we can talk about it.
Yeah, no, point taken. Okay, thanks, Julian. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
17 minutes before one on Man in Line today. Regarding the King Ori statue, the lower garden adjacent to Timwell Hill will be more appropriate than being plonked by the road, says 753. This is Manx National Heritage are complaining. They're going to lodge an appeal against the King Ori statue. That's got the Godred Crovan statue, which is going to be by Tinwall Hill. Manx National Heritage object because they weren't consulted.
When the ordinary just won't do, make your meal out truly iconic at the restaurant at the Ginger Hall Hotel. An expertly crafted menu full to the brim with delicious, freshly cooked starters, mains, sides and desserts. With daily chef specials and their famous ginger roast every Sunday. The restaurant at the Ginger Hall Hotel, Ballymanock Road, Sulby. Open Wednesdays and Thursdays from 5pm, 12 noon Fridays and Saturdays and 12 till 4 on Sundays. Dining at the Ginger Hall. You'll want it all.
Discover your dream home in Andreas with Kell Developments Limited. Their quality new build 2, 3 and 4 bedroom properties offer countryside living with amazing views just 5 minutes from Ramsey. These spacious homes are built for modern energy efficient living with ground floor underfloor heating and air source heat pumps, plus contemporary kitchens, beautiful bathrooms, landscaped exteriors and more. Reserve yours now. Kell Developments Limited, Oatlands Road, Andreas. Island Living Redefined.
Concerned about your hearing? Get the support and help that you need with an expert hearing assessment free of charge at Island Hearing in Port Erin or Ramsey. With microsuction wax removal available in our Port Erin clinic. Island Hearing have been your local hearing care specialists for over 15 years. So for friendly, professional help and advice, just call 830 722 or visit Island Hearing at 1 Station Road, Port Erin. Island Hearing, always listening.
Ramsey Garden Centre, for roses, shrubs, climbers, trees and perennials. Or solar lights, stone ornaments and bird baths. There's never been a better time to visit Ramsey Garden Centre. open 7 days a week.
As part of MGP and Classic TT 25, look to the skies above Douglas Bay. For the very first time, the RAF Typhoon will be thundering into action to display above the Isle of Man. Thursday, the 28th of August at 7:30 p.m. Don't miss the breathtaking speed, power and noise of Britain's frontline jet fighter. Catch every manoeuvre with commentary live on Manx Radio FM and AM. Bring a radio, tune in and feel the thrill as it happens. The Royal Air Force Typhoon display. Loud, fast and unforgettable.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And the very same, loud, fast and unforgettable at 14 minutes before one. Eddie's with us now. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Andy. All right, mate?
What a lovely day.
It's gorgeous. It's been a great summer up to now, actually. I think it's been fab. Yep, absolutely. Probably go down as one of the best, maybe. We might have an Indian summer to go with it. You never know. Just rearing its ugly head again, the government doing things without anybody knowing of what's going on again. You say about the rumours, some land being used. Well, I don't even think it's been to planning, has it? Nobody's mentioned it.
No, I think this is just skeet that somebody's saying that they'll keep turbine blades where Summerland is.
I think it's a bit idiotic as well. But the other thing I heard you mention was that we signed up to an agreement and we're bound by it. But there's so many other countries throughout the world, I think I've said this a dozen times, who agreed to the net zero, who don't adhere to it. And some, I mean, I've just been reading about Australia now. They're going to wipe out totally from net zero. They reckon it will be just absolute bankruptcy. It is an absolute stupid thing. There is no way anybody in the world is going to alter the fact that we're going to better ourselves. The Isle of Man is not 0.8 of 1%. And I've said it again and again and again. The water we swim in is not ours. It travels all around the world. The air we breathe travels all around the world. No matter what we do, it's just going to be an absolute waste of money. So I think we should be going down the lines of the Liberal government in Australia and saying we're scrapping it.
Okay. All that will have to happen, Eddie, is, and it's a big all, is that politicians within Timbuld will have to get together to raise a motion to repeal the Act. They'll have to repeal the Act, undo all the regulation. They can't just go into Timbuld one morning and rip up the pieces of paper. It's got to go through the process. So you've got to get politicians who will want to do that and who will make it happen.
Well, I think then they should do and put it into motion straight away, and it will stop any further money going out once it's in motion.
Yeah, but these are the people who voted for it in the first place.
Yeah, but let's put it this way: we are not going to be lemmings anymore. Lemmings somewhere along the line learn the lesson. If you know you're making a mistake, you don't carry on and say, oh, so we've all agreed to jump off the cliff. You don't do that, do you? You start and use common sense. It's 2025, let's have a little bit of brain power somewhere along the line. This government only wanted to get in with the green thing and the net zero to get in. Once they've got one term, they've got a pension. They didn't really care about what it meant. Let them all think again, and if they want to get back in, start being real. Simple as that, innit?
Okay, all right. Eddie, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling us today.
Okay, all right, mate.
Okay, yeah. I want to go to quickly to Howard now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. I've just listened to the chap earlier on, Michael, about the patient transfer.
Yeah.
Well, can I just say on behalf of my wife and I, many years ago, she had to go away to the cardiothoracic centre in Broad Green. The transfer system was excellent, and I'm talking 20 years or so. But recently, more recently, she, along with a few others, quite a few others, I should imagine, we were going over to Aintree, and this is for treatment for her eyes. And the patient transfer system here on the island was excellent. Couldn't fault them. I'm not saying Michael's wrong on this. It's something he looks or needs to look deeper into. Somewhere there's a mistake being made, or they've implemented charges. But we had the availability of one of the little minibuses to go down to the airport, but we chose to use our own car, which I parked. The airport was a piece of cake. In Liverpool, they ordered for us a wheelchair because my wife is not good to walk, and it's a long distance from the aircraft up to where the taxis are. Taxis, everything was superb all the way through and back again. Couldn't fault them. So somewhere, say Michael, if he has fallen foul of some mistake, then he should either be reimbursed or should be looked into or notified to the public that there will be charges.
Yeah, I wonder whether this is a new rule that's just come in.
Well, we were lucky in so much that the treatment my wife was receiving in Aintree was brought in-house back to Nobles Hospital, so we and a lot of other people didn't have to go away. It was a long day because we were going out at 7 o'clock and not get back until 9 at night. But by the same token, that is no fault of the patient transfer. That was the ability to get back on an aircraft at a comfortable time. But having said that, we still, when she went to Broadgreen, I had to pay for a hotel, but I was reimbursed. I just kept the receipts and I was reimbursed when we got back. But if I was Michael, I would be looking seriously into why he had to or ask him for answers on that.
Okay.
You know, because if you're going away because of treatment that has been advocated by the hospital, they will normally pay. Many years ago, my father he was in the old Broadgreen, and he unfortunately passed away there, but he had been over there for treatment on behalf of the hospital, but we had to pay to bring his body home. Nowadays, if you go away and anything happens in the UK, they will repatriate. And all these things have changed, so it's not saying that it hasn't changed for the worse, just ask more questions. That's all I would say to Michael.
Okay, all right.
But one of the things is you don't hear all this about the Orsted and everything. They're going to give £2 billion X number of over years. But has anybody asked, will the charge for the electricity coming back to the island wipe out that £2 billion?
Well, we don't know.
No, exactly.
And that's this whole point about commercial confidentiality. And I come back to my iconic 29p.
Yep, exactly.
You know, we just need to know how much it's going to cost us.
Well, the thing on one hand, confidentiality, and they're blasting figures about giving to charity, giving £2 billion, but there's not one iota mentioned about what the charges and what the Manx government are going to have to subsidise Orsted to get the electricity to the island.
Okay. All right, Howard, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Take care.
All right, now 6 minutes to one.
Welcome to the Millichaps of Ramsey Summer Sale, where you'll find fabulous reductions throughout the store, from beds and flooring to sofas, cane furniture and accessories, rugs, pictures, mirrors and even wallpapers. Plus, the friendly Millichaps team are here as always with a warm welcome and expert help and advice when needed. Don't miss the Millichaps of Ramsey Summer Sale, now on.
Creating a home where you'll love to be. Millichaps of Ramsey.
Spectrum Windows. If your house needs a new look and your windows let in rain,
keep those cold breezes out and make it look like new again.
Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows. Quality through and through. Great work guaranteed to you. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes, come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. A message in from Gary just says, let's not forget the past when they brought the new gas line in. How were we going to get cheaper gas? And yet the Irish people, who I believe are on the same line, get it at a third or half of what we pay for it. Is that true, Gary? The gas pipe that's going between Scotland and Northern Ireland, I think, is owned by Bord Gas Air and the Irish Republic Gas Company, I think, because obviously they don't have any fossil fuel. Well, apart from peat, which they can't dig anymore, they don't have any fossil fuels. What is the price of gas in Ireland compared to ours? Now, with the True Manx population now at about 25% of the island's overall population, says this correspondent, apparently now, comeovers, or to be politically correct, non-Ireland people come to the Isle of Man to live, to work or retire here in 20 years. Most of the pensioners will be drawing most of their pension fund from whatever country they come from. So will not that be a big strain on the government's pension fund, or am I getting it wrong? And a quick question, if a person passes away at an earlier age than life, expected life age, what happens to their pension fund that they put money into? We need one of those actuaries to tell us all about it. Right, that's it. So remember, if you're in Garth, a resident of Garth, or just interested, that Moore Vanin proposal, the Garth public meeting, is on tonight at Laxey Working Men's Institute tonight at 7 o'clock. They'd love to see you there. Of course, we'll be there with a Manx radio microphone. And back tomorrow.
WINT.